We take a different angle. But going back to Darren last week, talking about opposition, and obviously when we do testify about Jesus, we are liable to opposition, as we'll see, and rejection, conflict, and hostility. And thinking about, obviously, Rebecca's input as well with the internal and the external, we had quite an interesting discussion on this in our cell group. And thinking myself too, you know, I thought about sleep deprivation and brainwashing just as an extra couple. And then Darren went on to talk about how Jesus handled opposition from the preparation, the posture, and the purpose. And we'll think a little bit more about preparation a little bit later. And, you know, you know, when to speak and when not to speak. And I just thought about the silent to accusation and Jesus in Mark 14:61 and Matthew 26:63, you know, him being silent just testified so much. And the purpose is for us to become better Christians, to become serious and dedicated. And so basically I'm going to look at that as a model for us to unpack as we look at today's verses. Now, I'm just going to read the verses. Well, it says from the NIV, but Bible Gateway's NIV didn't seem the same as mine. But so, John 15:26. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you've been with me from the beginning. All this I've told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they're offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their day comes, when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you ask, where are you going? Rather, you're filled with grief because I've said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you will see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. And this is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So that first verse is at the end of John chapter 15, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, he will testify about me, and you almost also must testify. And I just thought, you know, the word Advocate in my Bible, it was actually Counselor. And I just feel that the word Advocate holds so much more legal significance. And we see that an advocate is a person who publicly supports or recommends a particular cause or policy, and a person who puts the case on behalf of someone else. So the Holy Spirit within us is really the counsel for the defence. The Holy Spirit, as we testify, is our guide, our leader. He models and we follow by being sensitive to his nudgings and his promptings. And as we testify, we bear witness, we are a witness, we give our testimony, and we serve as evidence for proof that something exists. And that's our remit as Christians. Now, we're talking about the Holy Spirit being within us and us being filled with the Holy Spirit. And in chapters 14 to 16, I just, all the Holy Spirit is, there's so many different words used for the Holy Spirit. He guides us into truth. He's our comforter, our helper, our empowerer, our encourager. He indwells us. He fills us. He's our counselor, our teacher. He enables us to bear fruit, and he convicts us of our sin. He's our illuminator, our strengthener. We could just go on. And as we host the Holy Spirit, then all these aspects of him are available to us when we testify about him. And I just thought, what more could we want? It's just amazing. I was just so staggered by that. But moving on to chapter 16, we're going to see how Jesus warned them about persecution. He told them about why, when, and where he was going. He was going back to the Father in a little while, and he assured them that they would not be left alone. To the disciples, the departure of Jesus seemed disastrous, and actually, it was for their profit. You see, on earth, Jesus could just be one in one place at one time, whereas when the Holy Spirit came, he was going to enable Jesus, in essence, to be everywhere. But going on to verse 2, in fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they're offering a service to God. And it just made me think of Saul, who later became Paul. And Saul was approving of the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 3. And he stood there and watched them stone Stephen. And then, after the godly men buried Stephen, Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. And chapter 9 of Acts, he's still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Now, Saul, at this time, he was a Pharisee. He was a Jewish, part of the Jewish religious party, who emphasized the very strict interpretation and observance of the Mosaic law. And Paul, speaking in Philippians 3, he says, "In regard to the law, I was a Pharisee. As far as zeal, I was persecuting the church. And as for righteousness, it was all based on the law." And you see where he's come from. And yet then later, he obviously has that wonderful Damascus Road conversion, and he's becomes the apostle and the missionary. And he himself is one who is persecuted. And in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 Corinthians 11, he talks about the hardships he's been through, the distressings, the beatings, the imprisonments, the sleepless nights. And then he says in chapter 11, "I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times beaten with rods, pelted with stones, shipwrecked and on an open sea." And just goes on and on about the persecutions that Paul faced. So we see from Saul, who was the persecutor, thinking he was doing good in trying to damage the new church, he goes to the one who's the fervent missionary who himself was very persecuted. And so it was his previous life in Judaism, how intensely he persecuted the church. But then this lovely verse that we have in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And yes, as we testify about Jesus, we will come up against conflict. And yet, these contrasts are so stark that with Jesus, we are victorious, even though there may be problems on the way. Thomas Cranmer, at the Reformation, he was the leader of the English Reformation and Archbishop of Canterbury, but he died as a heretic to the Roman Catholics and a martyr for the principles of the English Reformation. What a tragedy it is when persecution is seen as in line with the will of God. Such a tragedy. And a bit more recently, you remember Richard Wurmbrand, who spent 14 years in a communist prison in Romania for his faith. And he said, "A faith that can be destroyed by suffering is not faith. A faith that can be destroyed by suffering is not faith." He also said in Torture for Christ, "I had prepared myself for prison and torture as a soldier in peacetime prepares for the hardships of war. I'd studied the lives of Christians who had faced similar pains and temptations to surrender and thought how I might adapt their experiences. Many who had not prepared themselves were crushed by suffering or deluded into saying what they should not. And when I was a young student, back in the 70s, I actually heard Richard Wurmbrand, and I'm sure many of you perhaps did. And the thing that he really said, he said, you know, we are going to face difficulties, persecutions and hardships. And he challenged us all to prepare by, you know, going without food or going without sleep or going without the comforts of life, and challenged us that we need to be thinking in ways that we can prepare, perhaps, for what may lie ahead. And then another person recently, Brother Yun, the heavenly man, he was arrested by the security police numerous times and thrown into prison 3 times for sharing the gospel in communist China. And he was 17 years old when he was first arrested. And he says here, "We shouldn't pray for a lighter load, but for a stronger back to endure it. Then the world will see that God is with us, empowering us to live in a way that reflects his love and his power." And this quote also from Brother Yun: "I didn't suffer for Jesus in prison. No, I was with Jesus and I experienced his very real presence, joy and peace every day. It's not those in prison for the sake of the gospel who suffer. The person who suffers is he who never experiences God's intimate presence." I was so challenged by reading those words that to Brother Yun, you know, the hardships and the persecutions of prison were nothing compared with his real desire just to become in that place where he knew the intimate presence of God. Going back to Jesus, in all three synoptic gospels, we see the promises that we are going to face difficulties, and yet Jesus says, do not worry, rely on the Holy Spirit, and he will supply what is needed as it is needed. And so Mark 13, 9 to 11, Matthew 10, 19 to 20, and Luke 12, 11 to 12, basically are all saying the same, but I'll read Matthew. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Wow, what a promise, isn't it, to us? And so, back to the John, and Jesus says that's the promise that Jesus gives us, that he'll be with us, and that the Holy Spirit will tell us what to say. And here now, Jesus is telling us about the resources that are available to us. And the Holy Spirit, in these verses, it says he will convict of guilt and sin, call to repentance, reveal God's righteousness, and demonstrate God's judgment over Satan. Now, as we testify, we have the Holy Spirit, and he's within us, and he's the channel out to the unbeliever, and all these aspects of his work, the Holy Spirit is channeling through us, then he is the one who will do these things in the lives of the unbeliever to whom we are ministering. We're going the wrong way, are we? Oops. I don't know. Oh, there we go, yes. And just going back to testifying, I just thought what Paul said in Colossians 4 is just so important when we're thinking about how we talk to unbelievers. And Paul, it's his prayer that we should proclaim the mystery and the message of Christ, proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So the importance there is that our speech is seasoned. We speak courteously, with honour and credit to Jesus, to those we share with, and then we have an answer for the hope that lies within us. We know our Bible, as Darren was talking about last week, and we walk in wisdom, and we proclaim Jesus clearly. We act wisely to outsiders, and if we lack wisdom, we just have to ask. James 1 verse 5, and we make the most of every opportunity. And I had the chance to make the most of every opportunity this week. On Tuesday, I'd walked to swimming, and I'd been in the gym, and I was just going into the shower before getting into the pool. And there was a lady in the shower who I think had been to one of my open days, and I said, oh, you know, how are you? And she said, oh, I'm so scared. And she'd had tests for cancer, and she was having two more tests for a lump in her neck. And she saw the consultant on Thursday, and it was not good news. But I just felt, as we were standing under the shower, that this lady was in such fear. And so there, under the shower, I said, okay, Lord, okay, Holy Spirit, here goes. And I prayed, you know, the water dripping over us. I just prayed for this lady that she would know God's peace and his security at this very, very difficult time. And so I think it's so important that we do make the most of every opportunity. Now, of course, the emphasis here of Jesus' teaching is a bit somber, challenging, serious, and thoughtful. But when we look at the verses that are in these three chapters of John, okay, it is not. Oh, yes, it does. It comes, doesn't it? Oh, thanks, Chris. What Jesus said, and this is in John chapter 14, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And then John 16:33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, conflict, persecution and danger. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I've just been so excited with these chapters as Jesus is just sharing his heart with the disciples. And he's just saying again and again in different ways, almost the same thing, that, you know, I am going away and there will be problems, but the Holy Spirit is coming to give you the strength to be the people I want you to be. So, okay, Chris, can we have the last slide then? Thank you. So, as we host the Holy Spirit, we are literally hosting the Spirit living in us, then we will outwork and verbalize this by testifying for him. And how do we do this? Well, we tell out, and I've not just put talking there, because yes, we can share our faith and we do share our faith with unbelievers, but it is also the way we live and the way we act. And going on to the example, yes, as we have looked at examples of men of God who have suffered persecution and martyrdom and seen how we can prepare perhaps for difficult times ahead, but more, it's what sort of a life is our example? Is our life being an example that is showing God's love and the life of the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit, how important the Holy Spirit is. We can't testify, we can't live for the Lord, we can't do things unless it's like a partnership. You know, we are hosting the Holy Spirit, and is he at home in our lives? And timing, are we available to be nudged by the timing of the Holy Spirit? On Tuesday, I could have gone to the shops or, you know, but I was in the shower at that moment. And, you know, are we sensitive to the nudgings of the Holy Spirit? And then, going back to Brother Yun's point, the way that we can imitate, really witness, is by the intimacy of the Father in you and me. Our testimony comes from our intimacy with the Father. As it does, it deepens that intimacy with the Father. And so we literally host the Holy Spirit living in us, who testifies and tells us about Jesus. As we then, I want you to be encouraged and challenged to outwork and verbalize this in everything that we do this week as we meet with those that we will share with and that we will be good testimonies to unbelievers this week. Let us pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for these verses in John's Gospel, and we thank you that there are some solemn and some somber sides, but Lord, we too are excited about the fact that your Holy Spirit is wanting to be in and hosted in our lives, that we may be people who can be witnesses and testimony and good testimonies to your love within our lives. And so, Lord, whatever rejection or conflict we might face this week, may we know that the Holy Spirit is with us to just give us the words to speak, and that you too are there giving us your peace that was passing all understanding. So, Lord, we just thank you for that and ask you to go with us this week and be with us in all these situations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And there are some cell questions if you want to pop them up. Thank you.